line, Astro Line.
Carbach Brewing Company presents Sports Talk 790 Astro Line.
Astro Line.
The official off-season show of Astros baseball.
World Series champions!
This is where we talk about your champs. Join the show. Post your questions and comments on social media. Just be sure to hashtag AstroLife.
See you later!
Go Astros!
We're Championship City.
Live from Plucker's Wing Bar on Shepherd. Sports Talk 790 AstroLife starts now.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Astro Line, presented by Carbach. It is my pleasure to host tonight. My name is Todd Callis. Normally I get a chance to work on the TV side, but tonight filling in on the radio side, and happy to be joined by the catcher of your 2017 World Champion Houston Astros, Brian McCann. Brian, welcome. First of all,
Thank you. You've
had a lot of great years in your career. You're now 12 seasons in, which is crazy to think about. You're always about team first, and whatever you do individually is kind of secondary to your team winning. 101 wins and a world championship. Guess that's your best year ever?
Oh, that's not.
Individually, because a lot of guys say, the year I hit 24.
Getting to experience winning the World Series, I don't care if I didn't get a hit all year or, I mean, it's remarkable to go through that with the guys for 6 months and then go for that month of the playoffs is, I can't describe it, but to win it after game seven, it was, it's memories that I'll have for a lifetime, and, I'm so thankful to be a part of it.
We're at Plucker's at 1400 Shepherd. For those of you here in attendance, you can check in with Lauren Blackwell if you have a question. Shooting Stars are going to go around and gather some of those questions as well. Danny Ferris helping us out on the social media side. Brian, you played and started 17 of the 18 postseason games. In the World Series, you played every inning, even the one time AJ tried to take you out of the game ended.
Yep.
How much did you have left in the tank at the end of Game 7?
I did not have another inning left in me. I was glad it ended in 9 because it was a grind. It was a grind, but you push through the hard times. Everybody's banged up, so I had a couple things going on during the postseason, injury wise. But you push through it, but once that final out was over, I was able to take a huge sigh of relief, and the excitement was just at all time high.
Yeah, I mean, AJ as a catcher knows the grind, and you mentioned the grind. People think about the physical grind, but in a playoff situation, every pitch, the mental strain.
The mental side of it is times 10 of what the physical side is, because the preparation you're doing, the film study that you're putting in, it's every pitch means something. It's not like a Tuesday day game. During a season, you can't have that focus for 162 games. So it was awesome.
Brian McCann, our guest tonight, the Astros World Series champion catcher, caught 94 games in the regular season, a couple of DH spots as well. When you look back, so many great highlights to think about. Have you allowed yourself to watch any video, Game 5 or whatever?
I've watched every game of the postseason.
Have you really?
Yeah, I have. I went back and relived them all, and the big hit or the big moment that stands out for me in the World Series was Marwin Gonzalez's home run, game 2. It kind of got us going. If you go down 2-0, that's a big deal. But for him to come up with that huge home run to put us into extras, then obviously George coming up with a big home run, and so for me that's one that sticks out.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the plays or one of the big hits that kind of goes less noticed than it should. I mean, kind of fitting for Marwin, though, because all year long, he came through in such big situations. And really, your team was allowed to only have a three-man bench because of Marwin Gonzalez, because he could play everywhere, and he had big hit after big hit. So for him to get that hit in Game 2, a lot of people focus on Game 5 because it was even better than Game 2 somehow.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, what Verlander did in the postseason. But for Marwin to hit that home run, Jansen on the mound.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers bullpen to that point had been invincible in the postseason.
You go down 2-0 in a World in any series, you're fighting an uphill battle, especially with Clayton Kershaw. He's going to be pitching Game 5. So for him to get that hit, put us into extras, and then everything played out after that.
Well, yeah, it was still – there were so many pivotal points in the postseason. You mentioned Game 2. I can even go as far back as the ALDS in Boston. If you guys lose Game 4 in Boston, now all of a sudden you're using Keuchel and Verlander, and somebody else is going to have to start the first game of the ALCS.
Yeah, Bregman's home run and then Reddick's hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Beltran's double gets unnoticed. We gave up one in the ninth to win it. So there's if one thing goes another way – things are way different, and that's what I realized when I went back and rewatched it. One moment that didn't happen, we don't win a World Series, and it's it really takes all 25 guys. It takes a coaching staff, it takes a front office. Everyone's gotta be working together, or you will not win it.
Brian McCann, our guest tonight on Astro Line, presented by Carbach. Thanks for joining us here at Pluckers on 1400 Shepherd. Brian, we talk about so many of the moments that could have gone one way or the other in the ALDS, we've talked about that, the big hits by Bregman and by Reddick and by Beltran to win Game 4 and take you into the ALCS against the New York Yankees, who upended the Indians, who were a tough out for the Astros during the regular season. Now you get to New York. You win the first two games. They take all three at Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
Game 6, you've got Justin Verlander on the mound in an elimination game, and that just seems to be where he thrives.
I think he thrives in any situation, but to put his back against the wall, We were so confident on that plane flight coming home, knowing he was on the mound. We almost felt like we weren't going to lose Game 6. And then Game 7, when Charlie came out, and he threw the first pitch to me, Game 7, I was like, they're not touching him.
Charlie Morton.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could speak about him for a long, long time of what he did for us this postseason. I mean, what he did was incredible.
He is one of the more unique individuals in the clubhouse because I feel like a part of him knows he's really good, but there's another part of him because his stuff's never been this elite that is surprised by how good his stuff is. It's kind of a unique, you know, a lot of guys with his stuff would have all this bravado, but I think he's still trying to.
I think that's what makes him tick.
Yeah.
We got drafted the same year, so we came into pro ball at 18 years old together. So I've gotten to see him from day one grow, and man, he has grown so much, and he's always had the stuff, but he had to hone in his control, and man, he's definitely done that, and he won two game sevens.
How about that? Yeah, got the final 12 outs of game 7 of the World Series, Charlie Morton, and right now, with the addition of Gerrit Cole, you know, what a rotation. Now, one thing that I loved with the stories this offseason, obviously I knew your background, I knew Carlos Beltran's background and Josh Reddick, but when AJ told me that the day you got traded to the Astros, correct me if I'm wrong, but you may have been on your way to a retirement party David Ross.
Yes.
AJ said you made it a point to contact him and say, I need video as early as tomorrow so I can get to work on this team. So that's what you're about. You're about learning your pitching staff. And Gerrit Cole was just acquired by the team, and he said one of the things that stood out to him was you contacted him a couple of days ago. So
I think that's the most important thing is a relationship pitcher and catcher. Because I'm not a guy, I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers. I study, I work hard, I care. So I like to have conversations, right or wrong. Just everyone, you know, spit out ideas of what they do, and I got ideas of how I can help you get better. And, you know, I think it's you have to have the trust of the pitchers. If they don't have your trust, you know, then they're not going to be all in when they pitch. And so that's what I try to do.
Can you imagine a rotation as good and as deep as this current rotation? Can you imagine? I'm sure there's a lot of teams of the other 29 that would take a Colin McHugh or a Brad Peacock or a Francis Martez or go down the list. A Forrest Whitley's not far away.
Right.
Take them in the rotation. These are guys that may not make the starting five to start the year because of the current configuration.
It's a luxury to have, I'll tell you that, because you don't win this game without pitching. And you got to have depth. I don't think there's one out of 30 teams that finished with the same five starters. So it's a different era. It's a different time. I mean, 20 years ago you saw it, but in today's game, you know, starters are getting pulled with 70 pitches. So it's just a different time. But our starting five is extremely deep.
One of the cool things is Brian McCann joins us here at Pluckers as we do our Astro Line show presented by Carbach, getting ready for spring training, which will be here before you know it. One of the cool things in the postseason was that starters moved into the bullpen.
Yeah.
And not just got the job done for an inning or two. They excelled for four or more innings. And we're talking about Brad Peacock and Lance McCullers Jr. And then Charlie came out of the bullpen. It doesn't seem easy for them, but that's not an easy transition.
It's not. And if it didn't work, you could hear a lot of people saying, well, I can't believe they did that. And that's a testament to AJ to be able to do that and to say, hey, this is what we're doing. This is the formula we're going with. And for those guys to step up and perform the way they did in those situations is absolutely incredible.
You mentioned Charlie Morton getting the final 12 outs of Game 7 of the World Series. Lance McCullers got the final 12 outs of Game 7 of the ALCS. And the last six outs, he threw 24 consecutive curveballs to get the last six outs.
Yeah.
Tell me the backstory. Are you flashing different things that he keeps shaking to a curveball?
Yeah, I knew we had like a 2-0 count, I think, and I put a fastball down and he shook to the curveball. I was like, he's going all curveballs. So at that point, it just became I didn't have to put out a sign. I knew what he was thinking, and he has such good control with that with his curveball. He can bury it back foot. He can pitch, throw it back door. He's just got so much confidence with that pitch, and it's unhittable. So. You got a chance to go to the World Series Game 7 with all hands on deck. Yeah, he went with his best stuff, and it worked.
Have you ever caught 24 straight curveballs in a row?
No, I've never seen it, nor never caught it, but I haven't caught someone with that good a curveball either.
Ryan McCann, our guest on our Astro Line, presented by Carbuck. It is time for our first break of the evening. If you're here at 1400 Shepherd enjoying the show live at Pluckers, still time to get down here. We are going to take your questions. We're going to have more with Ryan McCann as we roll on from Pluckers. 1-0.
And McCann drills this deep to right field. Puig is back at the wall. See you later! McCann with a home run to put the Astros up 12-9. McCann's first home run of the postseason.
McCann, once again off of a lefty like he did five times during the regular season, left on left, doesn't matter to him. Breaks one out of here, gives the Astros a little more cushion.
That turned out to be a huge home run as we welcome you back to Astro Line presented by Carbach. Todd Callis alongside Brian McCann, the catcher, 2017 world champion Houston Astros. It was huge for a number of reasons. It was a fifth of five Astros home runs they would hit in that incredible Game 5, 13 to 12 in 10 innings. And it was big because the Dodgers, despite being down three, would score three in the bottom half of the ninth. So that extra run proved to be pretty pivotal.
The hitters were so locked in. On both sides. Yeah. You could tell when I was catching, it was like, wow, these guys are locked in, and we were locked in. So you knew it was going to come down to the wire. There was no lead that was safe. And to set the stage there in the tenth. I mean, for Bregman to come up huge with that huge hit.
And you talked about going back and seeing little moments during the postseason. And it seemed to me that one of the things that I noticed is, and we always talk, you hear little leaguers who are always trying to, hit their way on. But walks, and in your case, getting on base, being hit by a pitch can be huge because all those rallies, it seemed like George was either walking or you got on base ahead of what ended up being the winning run when Derek Fisher pinch ran for you.
I mean, they're all huge. Yeah. You get on base. We had two outs. I mean, that's another thing. We had two outs in the 10th. And he hit me in the wrist, and then George, like you said, with the walk, and then Bregman jumping on a first pitch cutter down and away for the huge hit.
You mentioned Alex last segment. He's 23 years old.
Yeah.
He played like he's 33 and had been in the postseason 10 times. Kind of an extraordinary. Certain guys can kind of calm themselves down in big moments, and for a young guy, that seems to be an extraordinary quality he has.
He all the qualities he has are they're superstar qualities. I've been around a lot of great players through the course of my career, and I haven't come across one player that loves baseball more than him. So when you, that's where it starts. His work ethic is there, his attention to detail is there, and obviously his swing, and I mean everything plays at a high level. So I can't wait to be, when I'm long gone retired, he'll be the guy that I flip on the station to watch.
You know, that game had so many twists and turns. To go down 4-0 to Kershaw, to go down 7-4 to Kershaw.
Yeah.
What was the... I know you guys had big comebacks during the regular season, but this is a different animal, Clayton Kershaw. What was going on in the dugout that day?
I mean, we have such a deep lineup that we did that all year. You know, I mean, we did that all year long. It just happened. We did it on the biggest stage. You know, we had to get that. We have a gauntlet to get through. You get through that, it's hard to get through that gauntlet 3 or 4 times. And Yuli came up with the huge homer to put us back in it, and then. Altuve just keeps. I mean, what can I say about Jose Altuve? He's the best player on the planet.
How about that?
Yeah, he big hit after big hit after big hit.
He's so humble.
Almost to a fault. I'm like, dude, come on. You know, you're the game's best player. Come on. You don't have to be humble all the time.
When you have Altuve at second and Carlos Correa at short, and there are stars everywhere on the field. But when you have those two in the middle of your diamond, it feels like you're starting so much further ahead than the rest of the teams
in
baseball.
We are. You throw Springer behind him, and then, you know, it's our up the middle is about as good as you can get. So we do. We feel like when you start there and you start with our rotation, we do feel like we're leg up on everybody else.
So we're talking about Game 5. You hit the home run to make it 12-9. Dodgers come back with 3, including 2 outs. Top half of the ninth inning, down to the final pitch, and they ended up tying the game. That could have been, with all the times you came back, a big burst of the bubble.
What was it like trying to get that momentum back? I mean, it was, you go out for the ninth with a 12-9 lead, you know, you're expecting to win that game. And, you know, Puig had the one-handed home run, and then Chris Taylor, he got the CNI single up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But, it played out the way it was supposed to play out. It was it's going to go down as the best game in the World Series history. So it played out the way it should have played out, and we were all part of it.
One of the cool things about what the Astros accomplished in 2017, and we're glad you could join us tonight, this is Astro Line presented by Carbach as we bring you tonight's show from Pluckers at 1400 Shepherd, the team had so many different heroes throughout the course of the year, and that played out in the postseason. You mentioned Beltran and Reddick and Bregman all throughout the postseason. Marwin's home run in Game 2. Even in that Game 5, you mentioned how it's what a deflator to go give up 3 in the ninth. And then and we wish Joe Musgrove the best of luck with the Pirates. To pitch that top of the 10th and give you guys a chance to walk it off in the bottom half.
Another part that gets overlooked is that inning.
Yep.
Huge inning. Came out. I remember going out to the mound and looking in his eyes, and I was like, oh. He had a different look in his eyes than he had the previous. He was going out there to own the moment, and he did. Got 3 huge outs to get us to the bottom of the 10th.
You are such a great conduit for AJ Hinch to have on the field because you've been through the wars.
Yeah.
You like you said, you look in guys' eyes and you know what's there. When you saw Charlie Morton come out in Game 7 of the World Series,
he wasn't coming out of that game.
What did you tell? Told AJ?
He knew. I mean, we all knew. We all knew. They Game 4, if you go back and watch Game 4, they were so uncomfortable facing him, and so uncomfortable. And I knew once he came in the game, I knew it was over. I really did. I mean, it was what he was doing in the postseason was just unmatched, and he had this look in his eye that no one else was going to get this done but him. So he did it.
How would you describe – you've played for – catchers before, Joe Girardi and now AJ. How would you describe your relationship with AJ? It seems like it's incredible.
It is incredible. He does such an amazing job. I mean, the communication he has with the players is great. He lets us know who's playing, which if you're not playing the next day, it gives you time to enjoy your family a little bit more and sleep in a little bit longer. And that's a big deal over 162 games.
Sure.
There's managers out there that don't do that. You don't know who's playing until you get to the yard the next day. Which how does that happen? If you think about it, how does that? Everyone should know when they're playing in advance to
especially catcher,
especially guys that have been playing for a long time that has families that you know. I may spend a little bit more time in the morning with my kids and get to the ballpark a little bit later to rest up. And so it's just a big deal.
7-time All-Star, 6-time Silver Slugger. Next year on opening day. Brian McCann, I don't even know if you know this, you'll move into the top 10 all-time in the history of major leagues for putouts. by a catcher. He's five shy right now of Mike Piazza.
There you go.
And the way this Astros staff strikes guys out, that'll be by like the fourth inning.
Yeah.
That's a long time playing that position, which is a demanding position. We do have the Shooting Stars gathering questions from you here at Pluckers, and Lauren Blackwell has one for us right now.
Yeah, Brian, you talked about how important your relationship is with your pitchers, and it seems like all the fans here want to know, a lot of people are asking, what are you most excited about when it comes to working with Gerrit Cole?
That's a great question. When I get to spring training, I get to know him, but for me, it's all about building relationships. But I'm excited. He's got great stuff, great mental makeup, I've heard, and likes to compete. So I'm looking forward to just to help him get better.
Brian, you mentioned the grind of a season. 1,434 games in to your career right now. That's a lot of games behind home plate. Yeah. Not a lot of catchers catch that many games. You are on the DL once with a concussion and then once your knee was barking a little bit. Did that knee continue to bother you? You mentioned the postseason.
Right. Yeah, I was battling it a little bit during the postseason. But it's the same thing I went on the DL for, whatever it was. But this time I wasn't going to go on the DL. I was going to fight through it. So playing this position, you're gonna be dealing with stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I feel amazing right now. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to getting down to spring training.
250 bombs, eighth all-time for catchers. You may have seen earlier in the week, Yadier Molina said at the end of this contract, that's it for me.
Yeah.
Not that we're trying to – we want you to play into your 40s if possible.
Yeah.
But it's not quite as realistic. Does that make you appreciate even more what happened last year than maybe if it happened in your first, second, or third year when you were a Brave?
There's no doubt about it because I understand how hard it is. I understand I've been to the postseason a lot of times. I had never gotten past the first round. So, you go six times in the postseason and you don't get past the first round. You feel like the World Series may never happen. So you have to be on the right team. And I was so thankful that I was a part of this team.
And it has not happened since before you were in the major leagues where teams gone back-to-back. It's not easy.
It's not.
The Yankees were the last team to do so, 98, 99, 2000. Why do you think it's so difficult?
It's a different time in baseball. Mm-hmm. It's that extra month is so critical.
Yep.
But the thing that we have on our side is everybody's young. Everybody's in their our best players are in their early 20s, mid 20s. So that's a big deal. So we got a lot of good things on our side to go back out this year and make it happen again.
And I think the other thing, when you look at not one of the pitchers for the team last year until Verlander came over, qualified for innings. And you qualify by pitching one inning per game. So 162, nobody qualified. Mike Fiers had the most number of innings, but due to injury and other factors, nobody was really stretched out beyond.
But see, that's another big thing in today's game. I mean, the fact that, guys, maybe at some time we had such a big lead that maybe sometimes they would have pushed through it and pitched. They had the luxury of taking the 2-3 weeks to let a neck heal, to let a shoulder heal, for that stretch run, for that playoff run, and man, did it all play out the way it was supposed to.
We mentioned that in the last segment, Brian called AJ Hinch. By the way, we're talking to Brian McCann, Astros catcher, came over last year in a trade from the New York Yankees, and the Astros couldn't have been happier for that. We mentioned last segment that you talked to AJ and right away you were on it. You were getting video, you were watching video, you were connecting with the guys. Will this spring, it seemed like you caught a lot for a veteran catcher last spring to kind of see live action for guys that you hadn't been with before. Will this spring be a little easier in that you've gone through this?
100%.
Yeah.
I think knowing, catching all these guys all year, I'm not going to have to, I won't need to see everybody. You know what I mean? I won't need to sit there and catch like I did last spring. But I'll probably do a lot more work on the backfields this year. So we'll see what I don't know. This is uncharted territory for me. So I'm going to come to camp ready to go, and whatever schedule we come up with, what will follow.
It's not that far away.
It's not.
Yeah.
Less than a month away.
Less than a month. We'll be back with more of Brian McCann. We are at 1400 Shepherd at Pluckers. You're listening to Astro Line presented by Carbach Brewing Company. Check them out at carbachbrewing.com. We'll be back with Brian McCann right after this on the Astros Radio Network.
McCann sends one deep to right field. bounces into the upper deck. Home run, Brian McCann.
Cannonball!
Brian McCann, deep to right field. And I mean deep, upper tank.
Cannonball!
On his 16th home run of the year.
His upper tanker.
Wow. McCann goes deep to right field. And at Fenway Park, Brian McCann gives the Astros double digits with a home run, his 17th of the year.
Cannonball!
The Astros had never before scored 11 in three straight games. And for the first time ever, they scored 10 or more in four straight games.
Welcome back to Astro Line, presented by Carbach. Todd Callis alongside Brian McCann, who provided all those highlights. B-Mac, you became, I think, our favorite guy to call a home run for, because Blummer just, he could not wait to say, McCannonball!
That's great. I laughed the first time I heard it. I was like, that's genius.
18 home runs or more for 11 straight seasons, which is every full season you've played in the big leagues. Is that something that you look back on? 250 career home runs is one thing, but if you get 40 one year, 10 the other year, you know, 28 and then 12. The consistency.
That's been a big thing of mine. I've always wanted to be there every day for the guys. Consistency is a big part of my preparation and making sure I'm on the field healthy. And you know, to do that, you got to play through injuries and you got to post. You have to, and that's when my career is all said and done, I want my teammates to know that I posted every day for them.
Well, I'm sure a lot of you follow the Astros pretty closely and saw the comments or heard the comments of a lot of the pitchers postseason, and they couldn't say enough about what this guy meant to them and what they perceived one of the MVPs of the team, even though he doesn't get as much recognition as the Springers or the Altuves or the Correas or Bregmans. But what a year Brian McCann and the staff had. Right now we are going to check in with Danny Ferris. He's been checking out Twitter and Facebook. And what do you have for us tonight on the social media side?
Yeah, so a ton of questions rolling in on Facebook in the comments. A lot of questions about Gerrit Cole, who you guys touched on before. But from the current staff, we have Zach Hirsch wants to know, who's harder to catch, Dallas or McCullers, or expanding on that question, who's the toughest to catch on the team? Who's the easiest catch on the team?
You know, for me, they're both unique in their own way. I mean, Dallas, you gotta, you know, he's gonna pound the corners, so you gotta be locked in to make that borderline pitch a strike. So you got to be locked in for both guys. And then McCullers has the curveball in the dirt that. He's got a couple different curveballs that he throws that you got to be ready for at all times. And so blocking McCullers' curveball is pretty tough. And then getting making sure you get those strikes, the borderline ones for DK are tough. So they're both unique in their own way. There's not an easy catcher you're gonna catch in today's game. Everybody throws in the mid to upper 90s with, you know, sink and cut. And so, you know, for me, everybody's tough. Yachty's back there sleeping, and I'm back there like a hockey goalie, like trying to make sure I'm ready to go.
Use the hashtag AstroLine on either Twitter or Facebook, and that'll help Danny find your questions. We are with Brian McCann as we get ready for spring training. By the way, a reminder, the Astros spring opener gets underway in just 36 days on February 23rd. My math is right. That's just a little more than 5 weeks from 5 weeks from tomorrow. The ballpark of the Palm Beaches is your home for spring training baseball. Make sure to make plans to see the World Series champion Houston Astros at West Palm Beach, Florida. For all there is to see and do, visit thepalmbeaches.com. Brian, you came up a number of years with the Atlanta Braves. You started in 2005. You had guys like Tim Hudson and John Smoltz on that staff. For you back then, how much of an impact did those guys make on what has now become a 12-year and 13-year?
I'm kind of spewing what they told. I'm telling the guys now what they told me back then. Those guys are so smart when it comes to pitching. And, you know, Tim Hudson was a guy that, like DK, he had to manipulate the strike zone. He had to, you know, start balls off the plate, run them back on. And so things he used to tell me about arm slots and where to stand on the rubber and the things he thought are things that I tell guys all the time.
When you were talking about getting ready for 2018 and you mentioned spending some time on the backfield, people may not understand what that means.
Right.
Describe what goes on in the backfields and what
how your role might be a little bit more, a little different.
You
than
can take your time. Yeah. It's at your pace. Mm-hmm. You can kind of do your drills at your own pace, and you can maybe go get a couple at bats against the double A pitching, triple A pitching, where you can hit every inning if you want. So I think you can get more work done at your own pace when you're doing the backfields.
When we talk about unsung heroes and why this team was so special in 2017, one guy we haven't chatted about yet started the year in the bullpen, moved to the rotation, moved back to the bullpen, started game three in Boston, moved back to the bullpen.
Yeah.
Brad Peacock.
Wow. What he did last year was remarkable. It really was. He fought to get for a roster spot, and then became one of our most valuable pitchers because you could swing him back and forth. And then what he did in the postseason to close out game. Now they're all running together, but he closed out. What game was it he closed out?
He closed out game. Let's see. I can't even remember.
Yeah, right. He came in four innings, closed it out.
Yep.
But he got such big outs up and down the lineup when I go back and watch it in the World Series and the whole postseason.
He may in the World Series. He started game three of the ALDS, but I think in the World Series it may have been game three that he pitched for. And it was, what makes him so? He's another guy like Charlie Morton,
yep,
who I don't think realizes how good his stuff is at times.
I think he's starting to. He's got the four-seamer that rides hard, almost like Roy Oswalt when he pitched, where it stays on one plane. There's not many guys that around the league that have his fastball. And then he's got the two-seamer off of that. He pitches up and he pitches down. And then the slider was one of the best pitches all year. He's got the curveball on top of that. And then he's got a good changeup. And he's got pinpoint accuracy. So you put all those things together, and you have a game plan going out there, and you're able to execute. You're able to pitch to the hitter's weakness, and that's what he can do. He can pitch to your weakness because he's got all those weapons.
It must be fun to be – I mean, there's so many different styles. And now you added Joe Smith to the mix.
Yes.
And Hector Rondon, and we mentioned Cole already. It must be fun to see some of the staff that's being assembled for 2018.
The front office is doing an amazing job. They're not sitting back and – we have a lot of talent already, but to go out and add the guys that we did puts us in a better position going forward.
Brian McCann's our guest tonight. Glad you could join us on Astro Live presented by Carbach. Right now, a lot of the things you see, it's kind of been a quiet offseason. There hasn't been a whole lot. There's still a lot of free agents waiting to sign. And right now, the latest headlines you see is about how the commissioner has sent suggestions to the Major League Baseball Players Association about pace of play.
Right.
And I know, if I'm wrong, correct me, but when you went on the concussion DL, it was because of a cross-up, right?
Yeah.
You got a pitch in the mask, and that caused a little concussion symptom. I've got to think that MLBPA is not going to be real thrilled with limiting the number of visits you can make to the mound, because that puts a catcher in some jeopardy there.
It's going to do is just guys are going to have to pay more attention in spring training about signs. I mean, you have to really make that a priority. And it should be already, to be honest with you. Signs and, not tipping pitches, all those things. We're all so used to PFPs, and we're all so used to infield, outfield work, the physical stuff. But, if you look, a lot of guys around the league tip pitches. A lot of guys around the league have a hard time using anything but strikes plus one or little things like that. So those are the attention to details that as guys go forward in their career that they might want to clean up.
Interesting. And that's something that is probably one of the great advantages you can have. And everyone talks about how Carlos Beltran was so unique in his abilities to pick up little signs from pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big part of the game.
And when you talk about pace of play, and I always feel like it's a bigger issue maybe for the media, sports writer.
Right.
And I know that the generation of fans skews a little bit older in baseball, and they're trying to appeal to a younger, short attention span, quick twitch fan. But at the same time, when people go out to the ballpark, it is an environment that's different than any other. Like tonight, my wife and I are going to go over to our first Rockets game, and we know what to expect. It's going to be high energy. It's going to be pulsing. It's going to be fast-paced. But that's what we expect at a Rockets game or an NBA game. Baseball gives you an opportunity to kind of sit back, talk to the person next to you for a little while, and enjoy a night out, whether you're paying you know, extreme attention to every single pitch or not. And I don't know if the fans in general or the players are really as caught up in the pace of play as some others are in the media.
We're not, because we're focusing on the task at hand. Mm-hmm. So we don't have time to think about how long a game is. I couldn't tell you if a game was 2 hours or 4 hours, because you're just in the grind until it's over. But at the same time, I mean, as MLB goes forward, you know, if they need to appeal to the younger fan to get more viewers, I'm all for that, because obviously at the end of the day, it's a business. So then at the end of the day, players are going to reap benefits for having higher ratings and you know, so all that stuff. So I don't get too caught up in all that.
Yeah.
I just play, and wherever it falls, it falls.
Well, the one thing they're talking about now, and I think you don't want, like you said, wherever it falls, but you don't want games to go 5 minutes longer every year, where it gets to be too drawn out. But I think that the fact that they stopped enforcing the guys stepping out of the box, I think that lengthened the game a little bit. But pitch clock, what are your thoughts on the possibility? It seems to have worked in the minor leagues.
Yeah, it's hard for me to have an opinion either way until I see it in action. I mean, I don't, you know, if it gets to 2 seconds, can you just step off? You know, like, really?
Do you reset it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you can just pick, throw over, and then start over.
There you
go. I don't know if it can really. If I see 2 seconds and you're going to give me a ball, I'll just pick over first base, you know, or I don't know. I really don't know what to think of it until I see it in action.
We have Brian McCann with us tonight on Astro Line, presented by Carbach. We have one final segment coming up. Reminder, you're listening to Astros Radio right here in Houston on our flagship Sports Talk 790 KBME and 99.1 FM HD2, longtime partners and affiliates of your 2017 World Series champions here on the Astros Radio Network.
You know what's special, too, on top of all this, is I got to throw to Brian McCann. And, you know, I threw my debut to him. We came up to get, you know, not in the big leagues, because he was way better than me. He caught my debut in 08 here, you know, over in Anaheim. He's a stud. He's a stud. He's a warrior.
The voice of Charlie Morton as we welcome you back to Astro Line, presented by Carbach. Todd Callis alongside the Astros catcher, Brian McCann, and
I paid him to say that.
I mean, that's
I got him on payroll.
That's so typical of Charlie, right?
He's,
not just to be praising you, but to self-deprecate himself, saying, "Oh yeah, he was much better than me."
That's him. That's him. He's the best, man.
When you think about the possibility, and I don't know how AJ's going to sort it out, but you have three guys that started opening day last year. Justin Verlander started opening day for the Tigers, and then Garrett Cole started opening day for the Pirates. Of course, Dallas started opening day for the Astros. And then you've got Lance McCullers, and you've got Charlie Morton. I don't know who the five guy is, but that's one of the best five guys there's ever been.
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, we're running out a power arm every night, and, you know, a top-of-rotation starter every single night. And then you mix that with our bullpen, with the depth that we have down there. We're in a really good spot going into 2018.
And Lance, who made his first All-Star game last year, I would love to see what he puts up numbers-wise if he can stay healthy for a whole year.
He was so dominant for a two-month stretch right, you know, from I think May and June. He was so dominant. He was the best pitcher in baseball for those 2 months. And I think he's a pitcher for me that's getting better and better and better once he learns, like, what his strengths are, how to pitch a little bit deeper into ball games. Man, he's such a pleasure to work with, and he's an ultra competitor.
Sometimes you forget he's still so young. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you're right. He is. He's only 23. He's going to be 24 this year, and sometimes you forget that because he carries himself much older and much more mature.
He's got the fastball. He's got the wipeout slider, I guess he calls it, a curve, whatever you call it. And then it seems like the changeup has been back and forth, either in player or sometimes he doesn't have. If he gets that third pitch going.
Yeah, I think command for him, when he has command, when he has two pitches, he's dominant. You mix the changeup in there, he's unhittable. So, you know, he's got no-hit stuff every time he takes the mound. And, you know, we're going to be saying that a lot this year. All five guys could probably take. You know, they all have no-hit stuff.
Brian McCann joins us tonight. Brian joined the Houston Astros last year, helped carry them to the 2017 World Championship, and now we are getting ready for the 2018 season. I know you spend most of your time in the off season with your family in Georgia, and you have a charity that you're very much involved with. You and your wife, Ashley, have been involved with since for a long time now, the Rally Foundation. Tell the people at home and those here at Pluckers what that's all about that you're involved with.
We're so lucky to be a part of it, but the Rally Foundation is it's childhood cancer research. We raised over $1 million this year for it, and we had such an amazing event. Dean Crow runs the whole organization. She's been amazing. And you meet these kids and you build relationships with them. Before the World Series, I'm getting videos of, from sick kids saying good luck, bring home the World Series and all that stuff. It just kind of puts what we do in perspective.
Yeah, Brian has a charity celebrity softball game that occurs every offseason, and longtime supporter of this cause, and you're right. It is a highly emotional and highly impactful cause that you play for. When you go back to Atlanta, as you did last season, and even before that, it was important for you to have team dinners. It wasn't just Brian and two or three pitchers. It was the whole team dinner.
Yeah. The best teams I've ever been on, you land in a city and there's 15 guys eating dinner. You're laughing. You're having some drinks. You're just, you're interacting off the field. And I think that when you do that, it's going to show up on the field. And you have to truly care about your teammates. You can't kind of put a fake on. And for the people who think that, chemistry means nothing, they're wrong. Because if you don't truly, love the game and love your teammates, it's easy to check out for 162 games. Because it is such a grind. That mentally, you can just check out for a day. But we got guys that don't do that.
That's one thing about this team, and analytics can be a great driver of talent in this game. And you can put together the greatest team of guys analytically, but if you don't have that clubhouse connection, it really doesn't pay off. And that's the one thing you really can't quantify. And did you sense this spring, spring 2017, that something might be special? Because there's a lot of diverse personalities, different cultures and backgrounds.
I don't think in spring, just because of the WBC, we had guys that were gone the whole time. But we had a team dinner in Seattle. The whole team went. And it was early. And it just, I think it just set the tone for the whole year. I think guys were, the whole team showed up. So, that doesn't happen. So when guys are checked in and mentally checked in like that with the talent that we had, it was going to be hard to beat us.
Astro Line presented by Carbach. Our final few minutes with Brian McCann, 2017 a World Series champion catcher. We talked about the Rally Foundation. That takes up some of your time. Obviously, you're a big family guy. That takes up a lot of your time. When you do get a free moment, when Brian McCann gets a day to himself, sometimes we'll find you on the golf course.
Every day you're finding out the golf course. If I have a day to myself, I'm golfing. That's not even a question.
Last weekend, just a couple of days ago, you were down in Orlando, the Diamond Resorts Invitational.
Yep.
You ended up with a higher score than your buddy Mark DeRosa. So I guess if nothing else, that was important to you.
Yeah, that was important. But I owe him some money this offseason. He's been killing me. But it was such to play another sport and to do it in that setting where it matters and you're playing with professionals where you mark the ball and everything's got to go in. And this is the best event that you could possibly be a part of.
Now, you shut it down, right, once the season starts? Do you get to play it all in the spring?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll play all spring. And then as soon as the baseball starts, I put the clubs up.
What do you do to recover? You've gone through off seasons in the past. You know what your body individually. What do you go through in terms of recovery, shutdown time, and when do things really start to rev up for you going into this spring?
They revved up probably about a month ago.
Okay.
As far as the intensity of my workouts and just getting ready. You have to put in the work in the off seasons to sustain full season behind the plate. And luckily I've been doing it for a long time, so I know what it takes. I know when to listen to my body, when to push. And, this year it's going to be a little bit different because of the month we lost, but I'll gain it back in spring training. I'll just work out a little bit longer, a little bit harder in spring.
When we talk about guys that really stepped up and unsung heroes, there was a point in the season last year we mentioned you were on the DL and Evan Gattis was on the DL. Juan Centeno. Who's no longer with the team, and Max Stassi.
Yes.
It's like the team didn't, as important as you guys are, those guys stepped up and the team didn't miss a beat.
Absolutely right. And those two guys that you're talking about are guys that have grinded, you know, to get to where they're at. So it's not an easy job when you're a catcher and you're going up and down and having to learn pitchers on the fly. And those guys, their willingness to learn and listen and on a daily basis, that's why they're both successful, and that's why they're both going to be in the big leagues, and they're still young, and they're going to be in the big leagues hopefully for a long time.
And Centeno, if you haven't heard, is now in the Rangers organization, and Stassi with Evan Gattis possibly getting more time as a DH, we could see some more time behind the plate for Max Stassi at the big league level, and he's a guy that seems ready to go.
Stassi is amazing, and you know, like I just said, I think he figured out his swing. Because you saw what he did last year. He changed the way he hits. And he came into last year and he raked. And then, we're expecting big things out of him this year. Gattis, I thought, did an amazing job last year behind the plate. We got depth at that position as well.
Brian, it won't be long. We'll be celebrating your birthday down at West Palm Beach and getting ready for the opening of spring training. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Brian McCann, ladies and gentlemen. Astros World Series catcher joining us tonight on Astro Line presented by Carbuck. We are glad you joined us either on the radio or here at Pluckers at 1400 Shepherd. First broadcast will be coming up in a little more than a month. For everybody involved with the show, I'm Todd Callis. Have a good night, everyone.